today's lesson as well, and we'll go ahead and get started. And to start off this morning, I'm going to show a video. I don't normally do this, but I'll tell you the point of it in a second. And how many of you have ever been watching like infomercials, and you've asked that question, like, how do the people in this video like even survive life, right? So some of you maybe seen this before, but I thought it was amusing, so I'll share it with you as we get started this morning. How do people in infomercials even survive? Wow, it's slow. This is my favorite.
Ew.
So, like, obviously these people are, like, the most uncoordinated people in the world. And then as they go forward in the infomercial, they show all these problems that these people have. And they, like, can't even handle a bowl of Cheetos on their chair, right? And then they go ahead and they start to introduce this product that promises that it is going to completely change your life, right? This little small piece of plastic that's going to completely change everything about your life. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, you know what? First of all, I'm not that uncoordinated, but second of all, I don't really believe you and trust you that this small product that you are selling is going to completely revolutionize my life, right? Like, I don't trust what they're saying. And we live in an area of the world and a time of the world where we have a very hard time trusting people. If you were to even just to watch the commercials during the Super Bowl, here are some of the promises that were made. An automobile can make you a better parent. And obviously, we know that that would probably be false. A television can prevent you from missing out. Hey, you're missing out on life if you don't have this TV. A candy bar, specifically Butterfinger, can give you unparalleled confidence, right? Like, I don't grow in my confidence when I eat a Butterfinger. A body spray, Axe, will help you discover your most powerful uniqueness, right? By smelling exactly like everyone else. So all these commercials, and you can read through, there's a lot of promises that these commercials make that there is actually absolutely no way that they can fulfill them, right? They are empty promises. And in our day and age, we don't really find it easy to trust people, do we? Because everybody's always trying to sell something. Everybody's always calling me on my cell phone, trying to sell me insurance. And I'm like, listen, I've got it. And they try to promise me the deal of a lifetime. And we live in an age where people's word really doesn't mean much. We live in a culture of distrust where we really don't trust people that come to our door. We don't trust people that are in our neighborhoods. And in the midst of all of this distrust, we're used to distrusting people, to not believing what people tell us, to not believing their promises. People are really looking for something that they can trust in, that they can believe in, that they can put their unwavering confidence in and really have peace and safety. And not too many years ago, there was in Los Angeles a minister who had a service on TV, and he would ask for people to send all this money in to help with the ministry. And come to find out, he actually took all of that money and he fled the country. So again, even in ministry settings, people have a hard time trusting. People are liars, and it comes down to a theological basis. And if you're in the back row goofing off, talking to each other, I need you to stop, and you're actually not even listening to what I'm saying right now, please don't distract one another in the back. Pay attention to right up here. So we live in a culture that distrusts. We don't believe, and people want to have that peace and safety. And sometimes that transitions into our spiritual life, doesn't it? I said all of that to make this point that, hey, we're used to not trusting people, and that translates into our trust for God. We have a very hard time putting our absolute trust in God and His Word, don't we? Because we are so used to being lied to. But look at Proverbs 29:25. It says, "Whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." God promises safety for those who trust Him, for those who put their unwavering faith and trust in Him. And some of you may have asked this question before, or maybe you're asking it right now. Can I really trust God? Can I really trust Him with what I really care about? Hey, I love this thing. I love this person maybe. Can I really put this person and trust God to do what is right and what is good in this situation? Can I really trust God with what I love? Can you give your life to Jesus Christ? And so seriously, as we go through this morning's lesson, ask yourself this question: do I trust God? Really, deeply, do I trust God? Do I put my unwavering faith in Him? Because when we doubt, when we have concerns, we have got to learn to trust God. So the main thing I want to look at this morning is you can trust the promises of God because they are anchored to the finished work of Jesus Christ. All of God's promises have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to see some very compelling reasons that God gives in Hebrews chapter 6 for why we can trust God, why we can trust His promises, that He's going to do exactly what He said that He's going to do. So as we consider those reasons, again, ask yourself this question: where am I anchored? Where do I really find my peace? Where do I really find my security and my safety? Because God says if you put your trust in Him, that's where you'll feel safe. Father, we come to You and ask that You just quiet our hearts this morning, that Your Word would speak to us, that it would not be me or my words, but everything I say would be controlled by Scripture. That's my desire. I pray that all of our heartbeats would be that if You say it, we receive it and we'll respond to it. I pray for the teens that are here this morning who may be struggling to doubt some of Your promises, that You just give them some very specific reasons from Scripture today why they can trust You and why they can feel safe in giving You and trusting You with what they love and what they hold dear, including their lives. And I just pray that, again, You'd speak, You'd use this morning's message in Christ's name. Amen. So look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. For when God made promise to Abraham, because He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. So God took an oath by Himself. He made promises to Abraham. Verse 14, He said this: surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, referring to Moses, he obtained the promise. Moses had to wait. Moses had to wait patiently, but he received the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them that is to them an end of all strife. So that's referring to God. He made a promise and an oath by Himself, and we're going to look at that. What does that mean? But number one, you can trust the promises of God because of His track record. God has been faithful to His promises. We have the privilege of looking back to Abraham. This author had the privilege of looking back to Abraham and saying, you know what? God made promises to him, and he kept them, even when they were improbable. So put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a moment, right? In the New Testament, we have the blessing of knowing what happened when God made this promise to Abraham. We know that God gave Abraham a son, that God gave Abraham a great nation. The Israelite nation came from Abraham. We can see that. But put yourself in Abraham's shoes when he received this promise. He had no clue what was going to happen in the future. He had to rest and find safety in that God was going to be faithful to His promises. And we know that through him, through Abraham, was going to be the seed of blessing, Jesus Christ. Abraham did not have the luxury of knowing that. So he had to, by faith, trust that God was going to be faithful to these promises that he didn't even really completely understand. And so a lot of us are in that boat right now. God has made promises to us for our future, for what's going to happen, for how He's going to be faithful to us as we live our lives. And we're like, hey, can I really trust this? God has a track record of keeping His promises. So letter A under that is Abraham viewed unfulfilled promises as reality. He said, hey, I know, God said it, it's going to happen. It's reality. That's what the future is going to hold. And it took years for Abraham's son, Isaac, to be born. He had to wait patiently. And it got to the point where he thought, you know what, this is impossible. His wife laughed when she found out that she was going to have a baby because she was too old. It was impossible. But nevertheless, guys, the day came when they heard cries from the nursery of Abraham and Sarah's tent. And my wife and I are very familiar with those babies' cries right now in the middle of the night. We've had several years of that. But Abraham and Sarah were too old. It was impossible. It was improbable. And Abraham, in Isaac's early teen years, he hears again from God. And what does God tell Abraham to do with Isaac? Yeah, Josiah. Yeah, he tells him to go sacrifice him. Hey, God, You gave me this promise that was very improbable for You to fulfill, and now You're asking me to go sacrifice him on the altar. And he's like, hey, what is going on? God, how can I really trust that You are going to provide again once You take the life of my son Isaac? But Abraham still trusted God and His promise. Even in the face of losing the fulfillment of that promise, Abraham trusted. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says that Abraham believed God so much that even if he sacrificed him, he believed that Isaac would be raised from the dead. That is faith. That is trust. I mean, there's not anything that God has asked me to do that extreme. So the illustration that the author here in Hebrews uses is Abraham. But also, God fulfilled His promise through the reality of Christ. He says, hey, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He promises that through the seed of Abraham, there'll be deliverance. And Abraham did not fully see that promise fulfilled, right? He was not alive at the time of Jesus' birth. But Abraham's family gave birth to the Messiah. And there's an elderly Christian man who was on his deathbed, and he was really struggling with the promises of God. He knows he's going to be dying very soon. He was very sick. So his pastor came to his hospital room, and this elderly man looked at the pastor, and said, you know what? My whole life, I have trusted the promises of God. I've been saved a long time, and I've trusted them. But now that I'm on my deathbed and I'm about to go into heaven, I can't remember any of God's promises. I'm trying to remind myself of them. And the pastor, knowing that this elderly man was really struggling, he said, you know what? Here's a word of encouragement. You may have forgotten God's promises, but do you really think that God has? God has not forgotten his promises to you. God did not forget his promises to Abraham. Abraham viewed them as reality. He absolutely trusted God, but peace flooded this man's soul in the hospital room because he knew that God was going to be faithful to everything he said in his word. So even though we may forget the promises of God, he never does. Abraham, the example that's brought up here, he placed all of his hopes and all of his dreams in the trust that he had in God. That, hey, my family is going to, I'm going to have children. He placed all that into the hands of God, and can you do the same? All of your hopes and dreams that you have right now, all of these expectations and desires you have for your future, can you actually place them into the hands of God with absolute trust? And for a lot of us, a lot of times our answer would be no. We're like, if I submit this to God, God is going to take something that I love. He's going to take something that I want. He's going to change my life in a way that I don't want my life to be changed. Can I absolutely trust God with everything that I hold dear? With all of my dreams and my hopes? And Abraham answered that with yes. He patiently waited. And guys, God has us wait sometimes. He has us wait for some of those promises that aren't yet fulfilled, and God calls us to believe on what he promises for the future, and we can hold fast to those promises because they are sure, they're eternal, and they're going to last forever, even though they haven't come to pass yet. So I want some participation here. What are some promises that God has for your future? Promises that he's made that have not been fulfilled yet. We've been talking about this theme a lot in youth group. Lord's really been working in my heart in this area recently to look forward to what God has promised for me. Just give me some simple, quick, what are some promises of God? Colin. He has gone to prepare a place for me. And if it were not so, I would have told you. John chapter 14. And so can I trust that God is going to have an eternal home for me? That's a promise God gives me. Caitlin. Revelation 21. God is going to wipe all of that away. So again, when we're suffering now, we can look forward to that promise and say, you know what, God, I trust you in the middle of this. Because one day, this is all going to be gone. You're going to wipe this away, and I'm going to live forever with you. Yeah, Tommy. Yeah, that we don't have to face the rapture. I mean, right? That's an awesome promise. I don't have to deal with all the things that are going on during the tribulation. During the tribulation, not the rapture, tribulation. So yes, we're not going to live through the tribulation. We will be taken home at the rapture if we're believers. But guys, we have that promise. We're not going to face that. We don't have to fear that we have to face that. Annika. That while we're here on earth, God has a plan for our lives. We don't have to wander. He says, my plans for you, they're for good, not for evil. We can trust that promise. Do you really trust that? Can you really place all of your hopes and dreams for right now and for your future in God's promises? So we've seen that his track record is impeccable. He always fulfills his promise, but those promises are always fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He's made promises in the past, he's fulfilled them, and he always has promises for our future, and Christ is our anchor when life is hard to understand. Where is your life anchored? Where is your peace and your safety anchored? So just because God fulfilled promises in the past, Pastor Brandon, does that mean that he's always going to fulfill them in the future? Because if we think about it from a man's perspective, have you guys ever fulfilled a promise in the past? Hopefully, you've made a promise and you've kept it. Is there the possibility that you may make a promise and not fulfill it in the future? Yeah, so sometimes we view God that way. We think, hey, you know what? He's been faithful in the past, but does that really mean that he's going to be faithful in the future? So you've got to build upon that first reason to trust God's promises with the second. Look at verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto you the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Okay, I'm going to pause. There's a lot of big words there. Look at verse 17 up on the screen. He's willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. That's believers. He wants you to understand, as believers who have an inheritance through him, the immutability. What does that mean? Big word that just simply means what, Tommy? Unchangeability. God's promises are not going to change. He confirmed it with an oath. Look at verse 17. That by two immutable things, two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a strong hope or comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Okay, so there's a lot of big words in there. But God is unchanging. So we have got to understand that we as people, we are used to change, right? I'm going to put a couple pictures up on the screen. Physically, we change, right? Here's some pictures of people who've aged throughout their lives. This guy looked very similar to how he looked when he was younger. This guy, I think, looks better when he's 101 than when he was 22. But we are used to people physically changing. Her eyes look exactly the same in these pictures. And love this one. Looks very, very similar. And we have got to find out that we are anchored and we have an anchor, a firm anchor, because God does not change. If I were to meet you guys in 10 years, hopefully I would expect that you would change, right? And a lot of you are like, man, I really hope I change in 10 years, right? And we expect that. That's what we come to expect from our lives, change. And again, we try to transfer that onto God. Does God ever change? The answer is no. So we can trust his promises because of his unchanging character. He's had a great track record in the past. He is not going to change like you and I change. He is immutable. He's unchangeable. Everything about God is always consistent. And people change socially. God never does. His promises do not change. His word will stand forever. And he also refers back to this promise in Hebrews. He's referring back to Numbers. God is not a man, just like we're talking about. He doesn't change. That he should lie. God doesn't lie. He doesn't change. Neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God in his promises is not lying to you. He is going to make good on his promises. All the ones we talked about this morning. He has an awesome track record. He's never had unfulfilled promises, and he's not going to change. And we are all too familiar with men who lie. Why would we doubt that God would continue to be faithful to us? Because again, we have a very worldly viewpoint. We see people changing and unfulfilling their promises. But what does Romans chapter 8 say? One of the big themes of Romans chapter 8 is, shall God not continue to fulfill his promises and give us good gifts, because he has already given his most precious gift. The biggest sacrifice that God has ever made is sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place on the cross. So that, for us as New Testament believers, is in the past. So Paul refers to it, hey, God is going to continue to be faithful. He's already done the hardest part. So guys, again, our promises that God gives us, they are rooted and founded in Jesus Christ. God has already given us his most precious gift. Why would he change his mind now? So can you trust God with your life? Can you give him your most dear concerns? Yes. He has already given you his most precious gift. He's not going to stop now. Read through Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 says that men swears by an oath. When men swears by an oath, it changes all strife. So what's he talking about there? God says he swears an oath by himself. And very simple illustration of this is the pinky promise. Right? Remember when you were like a little kid and somebody's like, hey, I have to leave the lunch table for a minute. Can you watch my gummy bears? Make sure nobody eats them. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, sure. And you're like, really? And you start to like not trust them that they're not going to actually eat your gummy bears. And then they're like, hey, I pinky promise. You're like, oh, okay, good, sweet. You made a pinky promise. There's no way that you can lie to me, right? So they swore it by an oath. And that's a really small, simple illustration. But you've all seen a courtroom in the movies, right? Or in real life, where someone gets called to the stand and they've got to place their hand on the Bible. They're making an oath by something and someone more powerful and bigger than them. And really the symbolism of that whole process, if you go back to look through history, is that they're pointing to God and putting their hands on the Bible that, hey, if I lie, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they will punish me if I lie on the stand. I swear by them. And they're making an oath. They're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And God is swearing that he's going to fulfill his promises on himself. He makes that oath. God is again confirming that he is going to be faithful to his promises. And the application is given for us in these verses. Guys, we are strongly encouraged to look back at these verses. We are strongly encouraged to find our hope and our comfort in Jesus Christ. It's impossible for God to lie. We can have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And he's about to talk about Jesus Christ in the next few verses. But we are told to find a place of refuge in Jesus Christ. So guys, when we are suffering, we are to run to God. To realize that he's already fulfilled his most precious promises. And we got to run to Christ. He's given us hope. So guys, when life seems like it is absolutely spinning out of control, when there's nothing going right, when we're hurting, we got to run to the Lord and his promises. When sickness or an unexpected death happens in your family, is there promises that God is not being faithful to? No. He promises us that if we placed our faith in Christ, we have forgiveness, and he's being faithful to his promises. Run to Christ and tell him what's going on. You're not sure what's going on, but you trust him in his unchanging word. He's got a track record. He's not going to change. But think of trials and calamity as a time to show the world and to God what you really believe about God. Guys, we can talk a big game that, hey, God is good, God is loving, God is kind. But then as soon as our neighbors see us when something goes wrong, and we're all of a sudden mad at God and angry at God, we are showing them that, hey, we don't really believe that God is worth trusting. Trials are there to help us grow in patience and faith, but also it is an opportunity for us to show what we really believe about God and to show who God really is. Can you trust in his promises? So we can make very bold claims when everything's going our way, but as soon as something goes wrong, then we're like, you know what, God, I don't trust you. And God is always faithful to his promise. We've got to trust the Lord with every fiber of our being. And that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? Because we say, hey, you know what, I've learned to trust the Lord, but how do I actually do that? We've got to place it into his hands. It is in these times that we have an anchor for the soul. Read for me in verse number 19. So he's talking about the future promises that are set before us in the previous verse, which hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Anybody know what he's referring to here? This is kind of complicated wording. Both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Who's that phrase, within the veil? What's that talking about? Anybody have any idea? Think about the crucifixion. What happened to the veil in the temple? It was ripped. It was torn. So he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's torn that veil. He's entered into it. He's gone into the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Who's the forerunner? Jesus. He's gone before us. Even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So you can trust the promises of God. Why? Because of his risen son. Because Christ lives. He's gone before us. He's our forerunner. He has torn that veil apart. He is before us, and we have an anchor for our soul. Christ anchors our souls. What is that talking about? That he anchors our soul. Our future is set in him, and because our hope is secure in Christ, because of his character, we need to cling to Christ as our great high priest. He was our substitute on the cross. He was our substitute in death and resurrection. We talked about that last week. And he is our perfect representative. He paid the penalty for our sins. And he is now at the right hand of God, giving us access at all times to God. Guys, that gives me hope. That gives me comfort. That allows me to trust God. Because not only is he making these promises, but I can't get to him, I can always get to God and claim those promises because of Jesus Christ. Because of that comfort and that consolation that's given to me, in time of need, I can go boldly before the throne, which is also in the book of Hebrews. When we have complete access to God, we can boldly go there. Guys, our souls are secure in him. His work is finished. God's promises have been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Why would he stop? He's already done the hard part. So you can you trust God with what you really love and what your real desires are? Is God going to take what you really like? That's a lot of our fears. You know what? If I completely submit to God, He's going to have me living in like a hut in an island in the Pacific Ocean that nobody's ever heard of before. Right? We have those fears deep down in our hearts. We can trust God with our lives. So the picture that's represented here is one that we've got to catch. Normally an anchor, he's referring to Jesus as an anchor for the soul. Normally an anchor holds a ship in one specific location, specifically when there's a storm in the ocean, right? I mean, there's a hurricane coming through. So what does a boat do? It throws the anchor down. It keeps them still. It keeps them in the same location so they're not tossed about by the wind and by the waves. And guys, Jesus has entered the Holy of Holies on our behalf. He is no longer in the tomb. He is not anchored to this earth. His anchor, our anchor, is in heaven. And we can boldly go before God. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. We have that complete access to Him. He is the anchor for our souls, but also Christ anchors our affections. We can anchor our affections and our love to Jesus Christ because of all the promises that He's given to us. We can love Him. And unfortunately, most people are chained and anchored to sin or earthly pleasure, aren't they? That's really where we try to run, and that's really where we try to find our safety, where we try to find our refuge. That, hey, as long as I have money, as long as I've got this, as long as I've got pleasure, as long as I have all these plans that are fulfilled in my life, that's what's going to keep me. And our faith in God's eternal promises keep us forever. A Christian who walks by faith and who really trusts God, they're going to hold very loosely to the things of this earth because they realize that that is not what's going to anchor their souls forever. It's going to rust, and moths are going to corrupt it. It is all going to go away. And guys, if your goal and you're trying to find and anchor your soul to money, what happens when that money runs out? When all of a sudden the stock market crashes, you're going to be wandering about, floundering about in life, and you've got nowhere to anchor your soul to. What happens if you anchor your soul and your affections and your love solely to relationships on this earth? What happens when that relationship ends? Or when that person dies? Guys, again, our souls can't be anchored to that. God has given us those. They're good. But that can't be where we find our hope. Because again, if they die or pass away, we're going to be floundering and we're going to be walking around in life and we have nowhere to anchor and find security and peace and steadfastness. Guys, God cannot lie. Hold fast to God's promises, not to your possessions. Your possessions are going to go away. They are fleeting. Hold fast to God's promises, not your possessions. Money, cars, houses, boats, all those things will be gone. God cannot lie. He's promised us great and marvelous things now and in the future. So guys, we've got to hold fast to Him in this life and in the next, because that's where we have to show that that's where our allegiance lies. Christ is the fulfillment of the promise. Hold fast to Christ. And again, that term for anchor, it holds a ship in the time of storm. And when our lives are full of storms, we can anchor them to Christ. He's going to keep us centered. There's a guy in World War II, he really explains the idea of Jesus as the anchor of his soul this way. He said, you know what, when I was in the Navy, what we'd do if we were trying to go through a tight area between islands or if the ground was really shallow, we wouldn't just turn on the engines, go full steam and push through because we're going to hit some coral reefs, we're going to hit the land, we're going to beach ourselves. And so he said, what we would do is we'd send out our little dinghy, our little tiny boat. We put that boat in the water and we'd let the anchor down enough to where that boat could put the anchor in theirs. And they'd go through the tiny little channels and canals and they'd throw the anchor into the water. So then the bigger boat, the big naval boat, it would crank in that anchor and it would follow the chain all the way up to that anchor. So instead of pushing through themselves and in their own power, they would look to that anchor to get them through dangers, through tight spaces, and they would go right back up to that anchor. And he says, you know what, this is a great picture of Jesus being anchor for our souls. He's up, the veil is torn, He's up in heaven, He is there, and we've just got to follow Him. We've got to become closer and closer to Jesus Christ, and He is an anchor for our souls. He's already gone before us and completed what we cannot. We can trust God's promises because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's done. It's over. It's accomplished. So where am I anchored? Where am I looking for my security, for my safety, for my peace? Am I looking to Christ? Or am I really looking to things of this world? Guys, that's a convicting thought because practically, we know the answer in our head, but practically, we answer that question wrongly every day. We're really looking to things on this earth. Where are your affections anchored? To this world or to the Savior? He's the forerunner. He's gone before us. We follow him. So Peter tells us to cast our care upon Jesus because he cares for you. If you cast your care upon anything in this world, guys, it does not care for you. It'll spit you out. It'll leave you high and dry. Money, fame, possessions, I mean, it just is so fleeting. Guys, Jesus cares for you. If you anchor your trust in money, again, it's going to flee. But another quick application to this as we close this morning, probably be done a few minutes early, is that our confidence and assurance is anchored to the promises of God and his faithfulness to them, not our performance. So, hey, I can trust God to fulfill his promises even when I don't perform well and I'm not faithful to God, not because of me, but because of how faithful God is. It's finished. It's a finished work in Christ. I don't have to finish it. God's already done it. He's going to be faithful to his promises. It's not all about us. It's all about Jesus. He's accomplished everything that we cannot. He is an anchor for our souls. So the author of Hebrews is not seeking to tell us, hey, you know what? For you to have your promises fulfilled, you just got to work harder. Promises God has made you, you just got to be good. You just got to work harder. He's saying, you know what? Here's your comfort. Here's your consolation. This is something you can anchor your soul to. Christ has done it. These promises are going to be fulfilled because of Christ. So are you looking to him to help in your time of weakness? Are you really anchored to Jesus or are you anchored to stuff? Because you can trust the promises of God because they're anchored in the finished work of Christ. Guys, we live in a day and age where it is very difficult for us to trust because we get lied to all the time. People make fake, empty promises. We've got to learn to trust the promises of God. He's got an impeccable track record. He's never going to change. And he has already accomplished the most difficult promise that he ever had to fulfill in sending his son to die for us. And he's alive. He has risen. And he's going to fulfill all promises to us because Christ is alive and he represents us at the right hand of God. Our promises are anchored in Christ. He's the down payment. We are now heirs because of him. If you put your trust in the Lord, you're going to be safe. Father, we come to you and thank you that you do promise safety for those who trust in you. And Lord, so often we hear promises that are made in this world. Even we make promises that we have no intentions to fulfill. And Lord, I pray that we would not view you as we do view man, because you've told us clearly in your word today that you are not man. You do not lie and you do not change. Lord, help us to trust those things and help us to really be able to completely trust you with our deepest desires and our hopes and dreams, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, thank you that we do not have to work for this, that you've already accomplished it in Jesus Christ. He's finished it. The promises are sure. And help us to trust you with everything that we hold dear, with our hearts, with our lives, with our families. And Lord, I pray that you be honored and glorified this morning in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. We're done a little bit early. If you could help by putting chairs away, that would be fantastic. If you need to sign up for working in the coffee shop, you can do that. And if you'd like to let me know that you can help out with Best of the Mess for the juniors, please do so.